Jen, first I'll say, just thank you very much for taking your time. I know that this is obviously a big time for the band at the moment. I mean, how are you feeling with the album coming out in the next few days?
Do you know what? I'm so excited, and yet I can't believe that it's actually happening. So there's, like, in the pit of my stomach, I'm, like, getting all, like, the excited butterflies. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, it's just been such a long journey, you know. Like, we started this about maybe, like, 10 months ago, maybe 11 months ago, and we'd had it in our heads that we were going to make an album. And we actually started about 10 or 11 months ago, and I can't believe a week from today it's actually going to happen. Like, the whole world's going to hear us. I mean, I say the whole world, I mean, like, a very small percentage of the world will hear us. But still, it's the whole world in my eyes.
So
it's totally true. I'm thinking of all of the words I'm saying. I'm like, you prick, why are you saying these words? It's because it's genuine.
So, yeah, the album is coming out next week, and you've done this through Pledge Music, and you smashed the pledge quite well, like over 200%. That is a massive achievement. How did that feel for yourself?
Well, again, just it's like a dream. It's almost like it didn't happen. I remember when we were first talking about crowdfunding, and we thought, oh yeah, that'll really help, and you know, maybe if we don't make too much, it'll still help, you know, and it'll, you know, save us from spending all that money on our own. And I remember on Christmas Day, that's when it hit 100%, and myself and Timia were having like Twitter conversations with about three fans, like, simultaneously, who were like, guys, it's at 99%. I'm going to be the fan that pushes it over. I'm going to push that 1% into 100%. And we're like, it's Christmas Day, dude, go and spend it with your family. It's like, no, I'm gonna push it to 100%. And then we kept getting messages saying, I've just pledged £100 and it still has to push it over. I'm like, stop paying, stop spending your money. But I had had a few gins, and so my poor family were like sitting on the edge of their seat, like, is it now? I'm like, no, just keep opening presents and doing what you want. Twitter, yay. And I couldn't believe it was like a Christmas miracle. I did have a little cry, and I thought that was it. I actually thought that maybe people would be like, oh, they've made their money, let's you know, they're not greedy, let's not give them any more money. But here we are at like 216%. Like, how many people know who we are? That's a lot.
It is fantastic. It's good to see a lot of people are supporting you. And it's not only that, but you have got a lot of the people that you've actually covered, a lot of people that have heard your covers also do support you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so lucky. I mean, and we're very blessed to have, you know, the majority of the music that we cover and we've released publicly, that we've been endorsed, you know, to some level, or at least given a nod or a thank you, you know, or just a seal of approval from the original artist. I mean, we thought that we'd struck absolute gold with Fred Durst, and we did. And if it wasn't for him, then we probably wouldn't be where we are today. But getting a nod from other people is just as exciting. You know, we still can't believe that the original artists know who we are, you know? Like, I mean, we never thought in a million years. I mean, and I know that people throw that phrase around quite a lot, but I literally never would have thought in a million years would we ever get to go on tour with Steel Panther. And that happened because of the internet, you know, and because of people's reactions to what we do. And it is amazing. It's so incredible. I still can't believe it.
But this is the thing as well. Not only that, but you are going to be, at the end of the year, you're going to be touring with Status Quo.
I know. Well, again, I don't believe it's happening until the first day, like the first day of tour, where we turn up and we're there and we sound check and we meet someone. I'm gonna be like, this isn't really happening, is it? And but yeah, so Status Quo at the end of the year. It's been a big year. It's been quite a big year.
I've also got to mention that a few months ago, when I first started hearing your music, when I so one of the lovely people that I normally get tracks from, she sent me your cover of Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. And the first time I heard that, I was just so amazed. I had to then play it again. I must have played it about four or five times there. Right, I just thought it was just so well done. It was so perfectly executed. I just loved it. I'd never heard anything done like that before. I mean, I've got to know, what is it about the songs that you choose? How do you pick the songs that you perform?
Well, firstly, thank you. It's so lovely hearing people enjoy, you know, what we make. So thank you for saying that. I mean, we honestly just choose, first of all, we just choose songs that we love. So, I mean, there's normally a majority. If it's not all three of us that love the song, it's two out of three. So, for example, on the album Jump Around by House of Pain is Zan's least favourite song ever in the world. But the arrangement, Timia and I share the arrangement. So Timia had written the arrangement of Jump Around, but it's so different to the original that it swayed Zan into loving it, and she loves that track now. But when you know it was first suggested to her, she was like, oh, I really don't know, and we were both like, go on. But generally it's all three of us that enjoy the songs that we pick. And unfortunately though, sometimes those songs just don't translate. Like there have been songs that I've sat down at the piano and tried to arrange for days, like days and days, just trying to find the right thing, because it does just click. I just don't write something. Timia doesn't just write something and send it out to the girls, but to each of us and go, here we go, let's just do this. It has to feel right. And sometimes it just clicks. Sometimes it does take days. And sometimes after days, nothing comes out. You just have to put it to bed. And you have to respect that. But the majority of the time, it's just a case of listening to a song that we love, thinking about the lyrics, thinking about the musical arrangement that's originally done, and then sitting at a piano, because automatically playing, you know, when I did Duality, for example, just playing the chord that, you know, Slipknot play in their song, it automatically sounds completely different on the piano. So you've already got that sort of, you know, advantage that it's going to sound different. So then it's just a case of finding what feels right and what feels fun and cheeky, and it's really up to us at the time as to whether we want it to be like a direct cover. Like Africa, for example, was almost like a direct cover, just with our own harmonies and our own sort of emotions put into it. And, you know, we feel very passionately about that song, but we didn't want to change it too much because it didn't feel right. We just wanted it to be like an homage to Africa. Whereas, you know, something like Bounce by System of a Down, we just thought, this is just such a funny song for three, you know, middle-class British girls to be singing about. And we're like, right, well, it's going to be a silly one. So it's we have to feel passionately in some way about the songs that we cover. And it's never to mock. Like, sometimes we get comments from fans of the originals on YouTube that are saying, this is so disrespectful, I hope that so absolutely hates it, and Susie and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, well, we don't hate it. We actually love it, and that's the reason that we're doing it, is because we're trying to compliment it. You know, we're trying to say we absolutely love this. You know, we want to try and do something different, and hope you like it. You know, there's never any kind of negativity towards any of the music that we do. It's never a piss take. It's always love. No piss, just love.
So, obviously, you've been doing the Lounge Kittens for a few years now. I mean, how did it first come together? What was the conversation that you had that thought, yeah, let's do a group, let's start a band?
A drunk one.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Well, Timia and I we met at university doing a musical. Can you believe it? The grumpy one enjoys a bit of musical theatre. So we were doing a musical together, and we became friends. And we decided after a few years of friendship that we were gonna do a duo, basically the same sort of thing. And we were like, oh, let's just do songs that we like and not what everyone else likes, and we'll do it in a way that people will enjoy our version. So that was the original idea. Maybe we do a couple of pub gigs, maybe a couple of weddings or whatever, just to make a little bit of extra money and have fun first and foremost. And it was I was teaching in a choir, so I used to be a choir leader for the company called Rock Choir, and Zan was a member. So Zan was one of the singers in one of my choirs. And so we didn't really know each other. You know, we were sort of friendly to each other as much as you can be for an hour and a half, you know, singing session. But we all just, Timia and I decided, oh, we like that one. Let's see if she's fun outside of choir. So we went out for a drink, which ended up turning into three, turning into five. into however many we could fit in an alternative bar, and we all got quite pissed. And I remember Venga Boys coming on the speakers, and we're going, "Oh, we should do this. Oh, Zan, do you want to be lounge kitten?" We've decided we're going to make a band. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that as well. And then nothing happened for about 3 or 4 months until I booked us a gig, and then we had to write something, and it was terrifying. But it just came from there. I mean, if we'd done that small slot, because it was part of one of my shows, my rock choir shows, and we thought, right, let's just do 10 minutes and gauge what people think of it. And everyone went mental for it. And we thought, maybe there's something proper in this, you know, maybe we could make something, make a proper artist out of it, a proper band out of this. And the rest is history. I mean, it's always just to make sure that we're having fun through music. We never would have thought that it would have gotten this far, especially in 3 years. Like, it's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
What I really like about your songs is that you are doing your own version of it. You're making it sound very unique. But as you said, you are respectful to the artists that you're covering. You are keeping some similarities. There is a lot of stuff that I think does translate really well. But is there one song that you can think of that you try to do and it just didn't work at all?
Yeah, we wanted to do Shaggy's It Wasn't Me. Nothing. I had nothing. Because I realised, and this is one of the fundamentals, is that there's only two chords in the whole song. There's two chords in the whole song. I was like, I can't do anything with that. There's nothing I can do with that. And unless, and this is the territory in which we have to be really careful, unless we were all going, like trying to sound like Shaggy, then it's not going to work. And then it would be insulting. That's like crossing over the line, and it just didn't work. And I'm still, do you know what? There's still a part of me which is hoping that one day it might, but I know it won't. So like, we did Shauna Paul instead, and that was absolutely brilliant.
That was a fun one, I will admit. That was very good.
Yeah. It was a curveball. See, we like doing that. Every so often we'll throw out one that people don't expect us to do.
Mm.
Like, just wait until you hear the album, and there's a couple of curveballs on there, which I'm very excited about. Yeah, we've got Usher's Yeah, which is one of my favourites on the whole album. I absolutely love doing it. And it's great because it allows people who are sort of tunneled in their music preference, you know. So you've got metalers that are you know, 95% to 99% I only listen to metal and rock, you know. And then you've got your mainstream audiences that are like, I'm only going to listen to pop and R&B. And what we do is that we kind of drag each other into each other's worlds a little bit. And what's great is that, you know, like the metalers, they'll know the words. They'll know the words to the chorus of Usher's Yeah, you know. And then there'll be people like who listen to all of the pop music that might know a little bit of Alice Cooper's Poison. You know, in the back of their heads, they're like, I do know this and I do like this. I just can't tell anyone. And we allow that. That's what we do. We're breaking those boundaries down to people.
Okay, so the list of songs that you've got on the album is loads of different stuff. You got Poison, you got Yeah by Usher, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Africa. I assume that there's one that I'll see on here is a medley of Prodigy songs.
Yes.
Now that I haven't heard anything of this one yet, but just the title itself is pretty fun. Smack My Firestarter to Outer Space.
Yes. Well, for legal reasons, we couldn't call it the Prodigy Medley. So,
fair enough.
Like, okay, what should we do? So we've just taken suggestions of the songs that we've covered in the medley. And actually, this particular track is a special one. There are three particularly special songs on the album, and this is because it strays from the norm of what we do. So normally it's piano and three voices. As you would see us live, that's what we would be. And we thought for the album we'd do a couple of things were a little bit different. So I don't know if I should tell you what it is, because I kind of want you to hear it.
This is the
I don't know for the purpose of this interview, you know.
I'm really hoping to come to one of your shows soon, because I missed out. I think you were doing some shows a little while ago, and I was like, damn, yeah. I've got to do it, because as soon as I heard your songs, I was like, this. As soon as I hear a band I like, if I hear from one song, I can go, this is a band I want to see, or this is a band I don't want to see, and immediately yeah. I just went, yeah, I love this, I've got to go and see it. So I am going to make a plan. I will be coming to your shows, and if I don't, you can personally attack me if I don't.
I will poke you in the same position of your arm over and over and over again.
For how long?
Now, it doesn't seem, well, do you know what? Like, at least 2 hours.
Okay.
Because it doesn't seem like that big a problem. Like, it doesn't seem like that. Oh, I can deal with that. But just imagine, I've got nails as well. Imagine being poked in the same spot for 2 hours straight. This is why cats go mental when you don't stop stroking them. It's because they're like, dude, that's annoying. That kind of hurts. A bit irritating. Yeah, 2 hours of that. So you better come and see a show. I'm doing it on my wall right now.
I'm starting to feel it, yeah. Okay, so so mentioned.
Well, where are you near?
Like, near London. And I know you're doing the 100
Club. 100 Club.
Yeah.
You've got to come. It'll be super fun. I promise. I won't poke you. See, that's the thing. If you come, then I won't. I won't poke you.
Oh,
there's a quote right there.
I'm starting to wonder how much this interview I can actually put online now.
Don't do an X Factor edit. No. Just edit me saying all the crazy words.
I'm just going to put everything out as it is. I think that's going to be the best. I won't edit at all. I'll just put it out. It's like, here we go.
Perfect.
Okay, so mentioning, obviously, the London show, you have got your tour next month to promote the album. How are you feeling coming towards this tour?
I'm excited, and I'm a bit nervous as well. Like, I'm a firm believer that the minute that you stop feeling nervous is the minute that you've stopped really caring about what you're doing. So I'm glad that I've got those nerves, because it confirms just how much this means to me and means to all three of us together. And I know that we're all feeling it as well, but in a good way. So I am really excited. It's been quite a while. It always happens, because you've got your quiet time of the year, which is between sort of January and March. Then April starts to pick up a little bit, and then you've got festival season and wedding season, should you be a band that does weddings. And we do occasionally do weddings, and they are really fun, because the people who want us at their weddings are like really cool fans. And 8 times out of 10 you get the rest of the wedding party that are totally on board with us. And then you get the odd ones where you're like, I'm so sorry, Grandma. I'm sorry. I'm singing Fuck at your daughter's wedding. They wanted us. But yeah, so then you've got a festival season over the summer. And now's the time where you get thrown back into gigs. And it's been quite a while that we've done like a string of shows. So I'm looking forward to it. There's a part of me which is thinking that we can't, you know, go too crazy, because all we have are our vocals, really. So if any of us, you know, party a little bit too hard, it can affect us, which is why we're very sensible girls, you know. I mean, we're not silly at all. We take what we do very, very seriously. We don't take ourselves seriously, but we do take what we do. But it's good. Hopefully we're going to see loads of new fans as well. You know, that either you know, have seen us online, or maybe their friends have bought an album. They're like, oh, you've got to come see these girls. So it's so wicked meeting fans as well. I absolutely love it, especially when you get ones that weren't sure of you. You know, when you get people that have been dragged to shows by their partners or their friends, and like, you know what, I really wasn't sure. And then I saw you and I thought, yeah, you're not bad. I'll take it. I'll take it, grumpy man. So short answer, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
yeah, that'll be the edit. Just like, yeah, you're looking forward to it. Yeah, I am, yeah. So
I think people need to know how my brain works. Thank you, John Doe.
Okay, I will leave it then. Okay, so yeah, so you got the tour, you've got the album coming out. What I know, it's obviously you want to get everything done first, you want to get through the next couple of tours and the album release, but after this year, what are you looking to do with the band?
That's a question that people ask us a lot, and it's normally tailored with, would you do your own original stuff? And the answer isn't no. It's a tentative yes, because it's such a delicate genre. You know, it's such a delicate genre to absolutely nail, because it's going to be comedy writing if we ever do. We'd love to be able to write our own songs, and the three of us together have already got ideas about, like, song ideas about what we would actually write about, like the content of songs. But it's just a case of we love what we do right now, and we want to push it to, like, the furthest level that we can before we try something completely new. You know, we're still riding this wave, and there are still so many people that are yet to see what we do. So I think we would love to just keep going with this for a little while, and maybe do, like, a collaboration. You know, we'd love to do something like that, where in you know, with some of the bands that we've met over the past 3 years, maybe we could do something with them alongside. But again, that's quite a tall order to make, but it could happen. So we always dream as big as possible, and then just deal with whatever comes to us as we live and learn through them.
Who would you like to collaborate with?
Well, obviously the Steel Panther Boys. That would be incredible fun. I'd love to do something with Skindred as well, because we're good friends with Skindred, and I think we may have something that we could do that would be incredibly funny on their part. We'd just be tagging along for the ride. I would love to do something like with Rammstein. I know that I'm listing bands that are on the album. That's just merely coincidence, because I think that they put on such a great show that it would be, you know, it'd be really interesting to see what we could do musically with them. And Muse as well, actually. And we've never done a Muse cover, but I think that they would be very, very cool to do something with, because they're so classic, you know, they're classically based, and I'm classically trained. So I'd just love to pick his brains, you know. I'd love to pick their collective brains over music. So I think that would be great. And we all desperately want to meet Dave Grohl. I mean, just to give him a hug, really, and just to see what he's like in real life, and tell him that he's great. So yeah, Dave, come on, sort it out.
That's brilliant. Being honest, I'd like to meet Dave Grohl as well, because I was supposed to go to his shows at Wembley last year before he broke his leg.
Oh, God, yeah. You were one of the unfortunate ones that missed out.
I was. And when they re-announced the shows, I was away the weekend that they redone the shows. I was like, no.
No. You know what you need to do? You need to do what? I don't remember what country it was. I think it was in South America, where, like, did you see the viral video where the community of that particular town/city all got together, and they got all of the musicians to come together? You had,
the thousand piece band. Yes, I do remember that.
Like the thousand piece band.
That was awesome.
And they said that they were gonna go and do a gig in that town, because obviously they get overlooked so much, because it's just a tiny little, you know, maybe struggling in poverty kind of city. And he sent a reply, like a YouTube reply, saying that they were going to come and do a gig there. So I'm like, so maybe you need to just gather as many mates you got, go to Hyde Park, and smash out a Foo Fighters song. You can do that. I'll come join in.
I was going to say, or I could just make my local area look like a shithole, and he might feel sorry for me.
How far does your charity bow stretch, Dave Grohl?
I could just go, look, my community is failing. We need you. I could see if that works.
He can't say no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then I'll just tag along at the end of the VT and be like, if you don't come, I'm going to poke you in the same place on your arm for 2 hours straight.
Oh God!
I think we've done it. I think we've nailed it. We're going to get Dave Grohl to come to. Where are you in London? North London?
Well, I'm just outside of London, actually. I'm in Essex. So.
Oh, cool. Whereabouts in Essex?
A nice little village town area called Little Thurrock.
Oh wow, that does sound quaint. smash the shit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. Yes, Dave Grohl, last year, if I'd been able to have seen you, this area could have been absolutely lovely. I could have been affected by your music to make this place better. Please, do Little Furrock a favour and come see us. Come rock us, and together we can be stronger.
You've got to do it with your T-shirt slightly torn and mud on your face, which has clearly been put there by yourself.
Yeah, and you know, I'll just have just a couple of people, you know, like I don't know, bet like with signs, but instead of like saying like oh, we'll do anything for food, say we'll do anything for foo. just to really add to it.
I love that. That is brilliant. You know what? Also, I've got a viola somewhere. I don't know how to play it, so I'll just be going in the background. Look at this poor woman. She's forgotten how to play music.
So yes. If you do, Dave, if you do come with the Foo Fighters to Little Furrock, we can help Jen learn to play the viola.
I'm still loving that. Would do anything for food. That is so good.
I tell you what, when I get this interview online next week, I am going to do a YouTube video and I will do this section as its own video. And I'd love to see if anything comes out of it, because it would be so fun.
Oh my God, you've got a project, and if even, you know what, even if nothing comes of it, it'll be worth it. It'll be fun. But wouldn't it be amazing if Dave Grohl was like, All right, John Joel, I'll come down.
even if he was just to recognise it and just see the humour in it, I would love it.
And you see, that's what we do. Oh, we brought it round to the Lance Kittens again. That's what we do. We made that we made the Limp Bizkit rolling video just for like our mates. Honestly, we did it just for our friends and our family, just to like show that we're silly and that we love the humor in what, you know, in what we do. And that just went viral, and other people just saw that in us as well. And that's exactly what we do. We don't make videos and we don't write the music to please people like on purpose. You know, we're not doing it because we've been told to do it. We're doing it because we love it. And if other people do too as well, then that's just fucking great. Oh, I feel liberated. I feel like I could take over the world.
Joe, I don't know how many interviews I've done over the years. This has got to be one of the funniest and just, I've got to say, one of the most fucking enjoyable ones I've ever done. This has been brilliant.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, because I'm normally called the silent stupid one, so it's nice to talk.
I can tell you are not going to have that reputation anymore.
Well, thank you so much. This has been very enjoyable as well. I was going to say that sometimes when we do interviews with people, like when it was face to face to people, or whether it's on the phone or anything like that, or radio, like there are two types of people, and there's like interviewers, and there's no in between. There's one of two sides. You either get the one that have absolutely no fucking clue how to deal with us or who we are, and just have their set questions written down. They're not going to interact. They're not really interested. They're just doing the job that they're told to do. Or you get the ones that sit there and either try and interject to a conversation, because normally we're talking over each other for hours. But they're part that, you know, they're on the journey with whoever's talking, and that, you know, it's the complete difference from it. So I'm glad you're on my left side. That's where I've separated the two people on my wall that I'm sitting next to. There's a line down the middle. It's like Pong. Except the one on the left, i.e. the good interviewers, like the great interviewers, they've got like a massive paddle, so they're never going to lose. And then the ones with the shit ones have got a tiny paddle, and they have no chance in hell.
Oh my goodness.
So well done on having a massive paddle.
Thank you. Oh, dude, I'm going to be quoting that now as well. Thank you very much, Jen. This has
You're
been
so welcome.
Brilliant.
Thank you as well. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And you too. Take care. All the best for next week.
Thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
And you too. Bye.
Bye. Bye.